You have your Bibles today. You can be finding Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to try to be quick. Got a little business meeting right after the service today. Matthew chapter 19. I want to read verses 14 through 30. Matthew 19, 14 through 30. This is what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, and he departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said unto them, "Which?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witnesses. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Verse 30 says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of His Word. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit this morning about how to have a blessed new year. How to have a blessed new year. I wondered this morning, have you got any New Year's resolutions? I can almost guess what the number one is. It's mine, losing weight. I was in the bathroom weighing the other night, and Sharon walked in, and she had the audacity to bust out laughing at me. And I just looked at her, and I said, "What are you laughing at?" And she said, "Sucking in your stomach's not going to help you one bit." And I said, "Honey, I beg your pardon. It's the only way I can see those numbers down there." Hey, 2020's here. It's here. Always been something special about a new year, I believe. God's blessed us in the previous year. He's blessed us. I started to write down some of the ways that He's blessed us, but we all know that God has been good. But last year's gone, and I think I said this last Sunday, 2021, it's future. So the only thing we got to focus on is now, 2020. And we can do so with assurance, listen to me now, that God is still in control. The McCameys say He's still God. And I worry a lot. Preached on that, I think, just a couple of weeks ago. I worry about what's going to happen and all this and that. But God's still God. And He's got us. And I was driving a couple of weeks ago, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I just happened to think how little that rearview mirror is compared to the window that I'm looking out at. And I mean, it's small in comparison to the windshield, and it just hit me. It tells me that where I'm going is a whole lot more important than where I've been. And the same is true in life. We have a brand new year, 2020. And with that year comes endless possibilities. And we, as God's children, must make the best of it with the help of the Holy Spirit for the Lord. And I just want to share with you very briefly this morning some ways that we can have a blessed year. And here's my first one. If you've taken notes, you want to have a blessed year, you got to stay focused on God. Focused on God. The Bible says in verse 23, "And then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, God's not talking about, the Bible's not talking about rich folks. I mean, there's going to be some rich people in heaven. But what I believe he's talking about right here is people that have everything in the world they need but God. They got all they want, don't need God. And I believe that's what the Bible's talking about here. And my first point is that if we want to be blessed this year, we need to stay focused on God. And I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about it this way. I want to drop a few bad habits. You say, "Preacher, you got bad habits?" Yeah, I sure do. What are they? None of your business. But I'm working on them. God's not done with me yet. I'm still in the oven, so to speak. And God's not through with me yet. But I've got some bad habits that I want to drop off. And I've got some good habits that I want to begin or do more of. And here's some of those good habits that I want to do and I want to encourage you to do. And they're simple, but if we do them, I believe God will bless us. Here's the first one. I believe we need to stay focused on God. And how do we stay focused on God? I believe one way we stay focused on God is to pray more. I mean, the first good habit that you should take up in the beginning of this year is to pray more. Do you know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That means that you don't have to go around all the time on your knees with your eyes closed praying. It just means that you need to stay in the mentality of prayer. I mean, you can pray anytime. Somebody will text me and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'll be driving down the road." And I don't close my eyes, but I even in my spirit sometime I'll say, "Lord, I lift them up to you." I believe that's what it's talking about when it says pray without ceasing. It's always being ready to pray for somebody. We need to pray more. Don't forget about our prayer wall, that we're praying around the clock. Don't forget about that. It's so important in the life of our church. I believe we need to do this. Not only should we pray more, but I believe we need to get in the Bible more. We need to read the Bible more. Isn't that a great habit to have? Don't you think we need to drop some of our old bad habits and get in some of these good habits? And I want to tell you, Bible reading is a good habit to get into daily. I'm so thankful for Brother Aaron that gets us these verses that you see in the bulletin week after week after week. And I hope and pray that you're reading through these verses. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to what it says. "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The Bible says if we study the Bible, if we read the Bible, we are approved by God. I don't know about you, I want to be approved of God. Oh, and I believe we do so by studying the Scripture daily. A wonderful goal for a Christian is to read the Bible daily. Another great habit is this. Don't shout me down. Regular church attendance. Don't turn me off right here, but I want to say this. It helps. It helps. There are people here today that it's hard for them to be here, but they're here. And then we have people that could be here, and they're not here. And I know I'm preaching to the choir today, but I believe with all of my heart, if we want the blessings of God on our life, there needs to be regular church attendance. Because it helps. It allows you to have a Christian fellowship with your spiritual family. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as the day approaches. I believe with all of my heart. If you want to be blessed and you want to be a blessing to somebody, be in God's house. If it's possible, be in God's house on God's day and listen to the man of God proclaim the word of God. I heard about this church member that wrote a letter to the preacher. And he said, "Dear Pastor, you often stress attendance in your sermons as being very, very, very important for a Christian. But I think," this is what he said now, he said, "I think that a person has a right to miss now and then." And he went on to say, "I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons." And here's some of the reasons. Christmas holidays, the Sunday before, and the Sunday after. He was writing this to the pastor now. New Year's, parties last too long. Easter, get away for the holidays, need to miss about two Sundays for Easter. 4th of July, that's a national holiday, need to take off a Sunday. Labor Day, everybody needs to get away, we take off two Sundays. Memorial Day, one Sunday. School closing, one Sunday. School reopening, one Sunday. Family reunions, mine, my wife's, three Sundays. Sleep late. Sometimes you feel like sleeping late. 9 Sundays in a year. Death, 2 Sundays. Anniversary, 1 Sunday. Sickness, 5 Sundays. Business trip, 1 Sunday. Vacation, 6 Sundays. Bad weather, ice, snow, rain, clouds. 2 Sundays, ball games, races, 4 more Sundays. Sometimes unexpected company comes in. 2 Sundays. Sometimes there's a special on TV, Super Bowl, etc. The race, 3 Sundays. And then he wrote, "Pastor, that leaves 2 Sundays per year. So you can count on us to be there on the 4th Sunday in February and the 3rd Sunday in August. Unless we're providentially hindered. Sincerely, your faithful church members." That's funny. But isn't that so true with a lot of folks? Listen, I don't know about you, but coming to church encourages me. Did you not get encouraged this morning? I mean, coming to the Lord's house encourages me to keep on, keeping on for the Lord. I mean, we're out in the world 6 days a week and the world tries to beat us down. Let's come to church and be encouraged and worship the King of Kings. I want to say this morning, get involved in the ministry. Be a blessing to others and I promise you, you'll receive the blessing. So many times as a pastor, I go to people's home trying to be a blessing to them, and I walk out with tears running down my face because they've been a blessing to me. Thank God for our church. Thank God for Northside Baptist Church, where I come every Sunday and I'm reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ loves me and that He died on an old rugged cross for me so that I could be saved from my sins and one day walk on the streets of gold in heaven with Him. Thank God for that. Can I tell you another thing that we need to do? We need to give. I got one amen. And listen, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about giving to God. Giving of your time. Giving of your talent. Giving of your treasure. You say, well, preacher, why should I give? Well, let me just speak financial for a moment. We're going to vote on a new budget here in a little while. Church has bills. We've got same kind of bills a house has. We've got water bills and light bills and insurance bills and salaries. And we support the Southern Baptist Convention that pays for missionaries to go all over the world spreading the gospel. You might not be able to go, but you can give when that offering plate's passed around, and a percentage of that money goes out all over the world. Some of it stays right here in South Carolina. Some of it goes in the United States. Some of it goes overseas. But we support missionaries, and we go do more. And I promise you, if you give, the Lord will bless you. Amen. And here's another one. Be kind. Well, wouldn't it be nice if everybody was kind? I pulled out in front of somebody the other day. I'm the world's worst when it comes to driving. I told you, since I moved to Pickens, I can't stand to go to Easley. That traffic is terrible. I went yesterday, and I'll never forget pulling out in front of somebody that I didn't mean to pull out in front of them, just did. And I looked in the rearview mirror to try to say I was sorry, and she was waving at me with the wrong finger. And I thought to myself, how ugly. Be kind. Things happen. Things happen. Everything's not going to go our way in 2020. But if we've got Christ living in us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Don't act like the devil when things don't go your way. Act like Christ. Be kind. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another. Listen to what it says. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgived you. Be kind. I read this. It's a true story. It's about an elementary school principal. He said to his teachers, let's all write our New Year's resolution, how we can be better at being a teacher next year. And if you write them, I'll put them on the bulletin board. In that way, we can support each other. And the teachers agreed. And when the resolutions were posted, they all crowded to see what they'd put on there. And one of the young teachers in the group suddenly went into a fit. I mean, she got mad. She's like an old chicken sitting on her egg. She was just mad as an old setting hen. And she said, that principal didn't put my resolution up. And I was one of the first ones to give it to him. And she just kept on. He don't care about me. And on and on and on and on and on she went. And the principal overheard her, and he run back to his office. He didn't mean to leave anybody out. He run back to his office, and he found her resolution, and he hurried back to the board, and he pinned it up. And you know what it said? This is what it said. I'm not going to let little things upset me anymore. Be kind. You're never more like Jesus if you're kind. I'm not saying be a wimp. Jesus wasn't a wimp. But we can be kind. Be nice. Enjoy life. This is the only life we have down here. Let's enjoy it. Take time. My daddy used to say, take time to smell the roses. enjoy life. Somebody said this, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Listen, enjoy life. Be involved in your church. Be saved and have the joy of the Lord. I've told you before, but there's not a greater feeling in the world than to lay your head down at night and know that all of your sins has been forgiven. I read this story. I don't know why my voice is going. I read this story about a little boy. He was visiting his grandparents. The grandparents lived on a farm. Granddaddy made him a slingshot. And he went out in the woods to practice with that slingshot. He practiced and he practiced and he practiced. But he wasn't no good. He couldn't hit nothing. He was headed back home and he's a little bit discouraged because he couldn't hit nothing. And his grandmama's duck run out in front of him. Well, he already knew he couldn't hit nothing, so he grabbed that slingshot and pulled it back and let it go. Guess what? It popped that old duck right in the head. Down she went. Well, he got scared. And he started to hide the duck, and he took the duck, and he went to his granddaddy's woodshed, and he hid the duck in the woodshed. But what he didn't know was his sister saw him. She didn't say nothing, but she saw him. And after lunch, the grandmama said, "Sally, you want to help me do the dishes?" Sally said, "No, but Johnny does." Johnny did the dishes. And in a little while, Grandpa said, "Son, you want to go fishing?" And the daughter said, "No, but I do. Johnny's got to clean the room." Johnny didn't say a word. He just went in there and cleaned the room. A little bit later that night, there's a thing in us called conviction. He started feeling bad about what he did. He went to his grandmama and he said, "Grandma, I killed your duck." Grandma said, "I know. I was washing dishes and I was looking out the window when you did it." Grandma just reached down and hugged him, kissed him, and said, "I forgive you. And I was wondering how long you was going to let your sister take advantage of you." I'm going to stop right here, but I want to say this. Jesus loves you, and he's forgave you. Don't let the devil try to get you down this year, bringing up your past, because your past has already been forgiven. This is 2020. We can move on for the glory of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we love you today. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, I thank you for a new year that we get to serve you. God, I pray that you'd help us be obedient. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in here today that needs to be saved, Lord, I can't think of a better day in the world to be saved than today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that needs to join our fellowship. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts today. Lord, I pray that we would all be what you've called us to be this new year for you. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.